we're going to continue our series in the I Love Sundays, and this morning's title is Good Sundays Make Better Mondays. Good Sundays Make Better Mondays. So just for fun, I made a list, a short little list, of things that I love, and it includes my wife, it includes my family, it includes golfing, which I didn't get to do at the tournament, vacation, being outdoors, and I love the fall because the fall brings the NFL back. And I love football. Unfortunately, sometimes football ends up with Sunday afternoon naps, which isn't a bad thing either. But before we get into today's message, I want you guys to turn to your left or your right or to someone next to you and just give them a short little list. Three things, take 30 seconds, you guys swap. Three things that you guys love. All right, so maybe you learned something different about someone next to you. Maybe you learned something different about what they love to do. And I'm sure if I gave you more time, if I gave you guys a week's notice or a heads up, you guys could come up with a lot more things. We could probably all come up with some elaborate lists of things that we love, whether it's ice cream, my wife loves chocolate, you know, whatever it is. Given time, I'm sure we could come up with a very long list of things that we love. But did any of us, or would any of us, immediately off the bat, turn to someone and go, I love Sundays? And I'm not talking about ice cream Sundays, because I'm sure a lot of us love those. But would any of us think to say, I love Sundays? Like the physical day, would we love it? Most of us would say, I hate Mondays, because we all got to go back to work. But would we genuinely say that Sunday is a day that we love? If not, our goal over the next several weeks is to change that mindset so that we would look at Sundays with excitement. Whether it's Friday or Saturday coming into the weekend, we would be excited about Sunday. Or whether it's Monday going, man, I really wish it was still Sunday because Sunday was so good. So if you would with me, open to Isaiah 58. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14 in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, looking at verse 13. It says this in verse 13. If because of the Sabbath you turn away your foot from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then, verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So Isaiah 58, 13, 14, what we're looking at is it's kind of an if-then. So in computer programming, I was a computer science major originally in college, and in computer programming, we have what's called an if-then. So you have a statement, it says, if this, then this. So if this is true, then this happens. So we have that here in verses 13 and 14. And basically, what verse 13 is saying is the if statement. If you do these things, if you turn away from your own desires, if you turn away from what you want to do on the Sabbath, and if you actually honor it for the Lord's Day, for what he's called it, you get to verse 14 with the then statement, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. In 2015, we live in this never-stopping culture, and we've talked about this before. We're constantly going. We're constantly trying to get ahead. And we oftentimes use weekends to try to do that. And I'll tell you what, with the website that we launched last week, I spent a lot of days and then weekends and a lot of time on the weekends continually trying to work on the website, trying to get things done because I was trying to meet a deadline. And I missed a couple Saturdays where my wife wanted to go do some things because I was like, nah, I really have to finish this. Because I was stressed out about trying to get it done. And that's the kind of culture that we live in, where we're constantly going and we're constantly trying to get ahead. Because we're constantly under pressure to meet expectations or to meet deadlines. So I want you to do this with me. And it's going to be weird, but just because I'm up here, do it for me. But put your teeth together and go like this. Oh, that's going to be loud. So we used to do this in choir, and we used to try to hold it as long as we could. We would take a big, deep breath in, and then we would see how long we could hold that S sound. And by the time you're all done, if you do it long enough, you kind of go, and you feel a sense of relief a little bit, right? So if you were to take a big breath in and hold the S's out as long as you could, you would almost feel this sense of relief. Now, it reminds me of an air compressor. So my dad has an air compressor, and when you turn it on and you're using a nail gun or you're using whatever things, you know, you go about and you do your work. But when you're done working, you still have this air compressor that's full of pressure, right? And if you leave that there, it becomes a hazard. It could become something very dangerous with all that pressure built up. So there's a blow-off valve, or there's a, you know, sometimes you get a little ball joint where you can relieve pressure, right? So you twist the blow-off valve on the bottom of the air compressor, and all the air comes flying out at high speed, makes this extremely loud noise, like what you guys just did, because it's letting off all the pressure. And here's the important thing for this. If pressure builds up too much, and it has no release, it becomes this hazard. The container that it's in becomes dangerous, right? The air compressor, if it's left full of air and is jostled the wrong way, if it's older, in theory, could explode. And now you have metal shrapnel going everywhere. But it's the same thing with our spiritual lives. If we're under pressure of daily situations, right? All day, every day, you're at work, your boss is putting down deadlines, you got to meet goals, got to meet expectations, you're constantly under pressure. If you never have a time set aside to release that pressure, to just kind of blow off some steam, you become that container. And now that pressure builds and builds till it can affect you physically or it can affect you spiritually. And that's what we want to talk about why Sundays are so important and why Sundays make for better Mondays. If any of you have ever been in a gym or worked out or tried running, you know the importance of a rest day, right? Who here has ever gone to the gym or they've been motivated to do something that they haven't done in forever? New Year's resolution. I'm going to start running. And you go out that first day, right? And you go for a run or you go to the gym. And then you wake up the next day and you can't move, right? So Courtney goes to the gym with me and I make her do crazy stuff. And it's funny. And my wife is like, I'm not doing the stuff that you guys do because you guys are crazy. But the next day I'll hear about it from Courtney and she's like, oh man, I can't move. Like, well, we're going to the gym tomorrow, so you better get better. No. But it's this idea of rest, right? You know, if you're an elite athlete, you can't continue to perform at the top level if you don't actually take time to rest. If you're constantly going and going and going and going, you become run down. And then you start to fall behind. And you'll never get ahead because you're never taking that time to rest. Joshua 1:8 says this. God is talking to Joshua. It's an important passage to them, but I'll explain why in a second. It says this. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. This is right before they're getting ready to move into the promised land, and God is saying, Joshua, once you and your people, once you get in there and you settle in, you're going to be very tempted to just continually work, to just keep going. But if you work, and you constantly work, and you're constantly going, you'll never get ahead, and all you'll do is fall behind. But there's an important passage in the Bible, which is why God is saying, remember to obey everything in it. Because we know in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, we talked a little bit about this last week, when the Ten Commandments were given, the fourth commandment was to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, right? In 1857, Jeremy Lamphere started a noontime prayer meeting in the Dutch Reformed Church in downtown New York City. It sparked this Bible reading movement throughout our country. And as a result, the history of America's westward expansion was marked by households huddled around their kitchen tables at night. Mom would be sewing or, you know, doing some stitching. The kids may have been quietly playing, and the father would have been reading to them, and they would have spent about an hour of time with the father reading out loud. And once that Bible reading habit was ingrained in the families, over the next 100 years, the United States became the most prosperous nation on earth. People today say that they're too busy, right? We don't have time. I don't have time to sit down and take, you know, an extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes to read through something. I got to catch the bus. I got to catch the train. I got to get to work. We don't have time. But the Bible says that if you will read it regularly, you become the sort of person who gets ahead. We're not saying that if you read it regularly or if you go to church regularly, that you're going to become the wealthiest person in the earth. You're not going to automatically get promoted. You're not necessarily going to move ahead like that. But if you're constantly focused on the Bible and you're constantly focused on putting your priorities in the right order, starting with God and then working down, you'll be the type of prosperous person that God desires. Because if you're putting His will first, if you're putting what He told you first, that's what truly matters. What we call prosperous and what we call getting ahead here on earth is defined by man. It's not defined by God. So what we think is best is not necessarily always best. Looking back at Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, there's two lines. It says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, I will cause you to ride in triumph. If you call the Sabbath a delight, I will cause you to ride in triumph. That's that if-then statement that we talked about. How many of us actually call the Sabbath a delight, or we call Sunday a delight? After the last 2 days, I wanted to do nothing more than sleep this morning. There was nothing else on my priority list but to just sleep in. The golf tournament that Don mentioned, spent 2.5 months planning this out, and then at 5 o'clock in the morning, we got up and we went and picked up Courtney, and then we went and we met some of the other staff at Warren Brook Golf Course. And at 6 o'clock, it's still pitch blackout, and I'm in a golf cart riding around the golf course, putting signs into all the tee boxes, and other people are setting up registration tables. And then when it was all said and done, about 3 o'clock, we broke everything down after the tournament was over. And we left, and we went rushing out down Route 18. Well, we didn't rush down Route 18 because it just sat at 5 o'clock. And we're texting Anna. We're so sorry, Anna. We're going to be late to Jackie's game. Route 18 is just sitting. And Anna's like, oh, it's okay. They moved the game. They didn't start yet. So we went flying to Jackie's game, and we watched Danellen play, and we were with Jackie a little bit afterwards. And then we came home, and we went to bed really late. And then we got up early again because yesterday was Timothy's homecoming. So we went to Timothy's homecoming, and then we went to bed really late. So this morning, I just wanted to sleep. I didn't want to do anything. Because we're constantly going and going and going. So how do we transition? How do we plan our schedules to make sure that we're actually looking forward to Sunday morning? So that when we wake up on Sunday or when we show up on Sunday, it literally is the best day. It's the day that we're constantly looking forward to. And there's two ways on how to make Sunday the best day of your week. And the first one is to honor God's rhythm for your life. Honor God's rhythm for your life. You say, what does that mean? How do I honor God's rhythm? What is God's rhythm for my life? Well, to me, having a musical background, when I think rhythm, I think music. So every song has a rhythm, right? It's got a beat, or it's got a pattern. Well, all of our lives have a beat or a pattern. All of our lives have a rhythm to them. We tend to call it a schedule, right? So I have work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and on Saturday I have whatever, and on And then within each day, we break it down. Okay, at 6 o'clock, I need to get up. At 6:30, I need to have breakfast. At 6:45, I need to shower and get ready for work. By 7:15, I need to be out the door. And we break this down, and that's our rhythm. That's what we do every day on a continual basis. And that's how we tick, right? And we continue through life, whether it's from a young age, you know, for some of us, it may be school. So you may not be going to work, you may be going to school. And then when you get to college, now it changes a little bit. And then when you become an adult and you have a full-time job, it changes a little bit more. But for the most part, it's going to follow a pattern that's going to be pretty continuous. But part of that pattern needs to be taking a day and just stopping. And that's what we're talking about with this whole series, is the importance of making sure that in that pattern, in that rhythm, there's this day or this time that's built in to just not do anything. And it's not just important for you because it's good for you. It's important for you because we're actually commanded to. If you actually would turn with me to Exodus 20, we're going to look at verses 8 and 10. Exodus 20, verses 8 and 10. Or 8 to 10, sorry. This idea of going to church on Sunday, or this idea of, you know, taking a day to relax, it's not a suggestion. It's literally a commandment. God is literally telling you, this is what you need to do. Look at verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. No one shall do any work at all." If you take it to Deuteronomy 5 and look at verse 12, we won't for now, but if you were to look at Deuteronomy 5:12, again, the Ten Commandments are given, and this is reiterated. They're told again, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Twice they're told to remember. It's a command. Remember this. Don't forget it. Observe this. Make sure you do this. Make sure you take this time, because it was designed for us. It was designed to be what we would need to get through each week. So the first one is to honor God's rhythm for your life. Make sure that no matter what your schedule is, no matter where you're going, what you're doing, the craziness of life, that you schedule that Sunday in. When we've been on family vacations growing up, when I think of family vacation, or when I think of vacation, vacation is you go away, right? You go away from everything you normally do, away from the pattern, whether out of state, whether you're just going to take a stay-at-home vacation. It's a vacation. Everything you normally do, you don't do. Well, growing up, when we used to go down to Williamsburg, we used to have vacation, and inevitably, we would be down there on a Sunday. And I'm thinking, we're on vacation. We're not at home. We're not going to church. I don't have to wake up early. I don't have to do anything. And inevitably, Sunday morning, we'd be getting woken up. We found a church. We're going. Let's go. And even on family vacations, my parents impressed upon us the importance of going to church. To the point that there was a little church that we found in Williamsburg that we've gone back to several times that we've been down there. It's this small little church, but we found it while we were there. And the next time we were down on vacation, we went back. And then another time we went back. It was this idea that no matter where we were, what we were doing, whether we were home or away, we still took that time to focus on what God said. We still took that time to prioritize everything. Yes, we were on vacation, but God still held a priority in my parents' life, and that example is what they wanted to put down to me and my sister. That no matter what, this is still top priority, no matter where you go. So honor God's rhythm for your life. The second one is to prepare for Sundays as if it's the highlight of your week. Now, most people, I think, prepare for Saturdays as if it's the highlight of their week. I would tell you I do. Because all week long, you're running around, you're doing crazy things, you have your work schedule, you have meetings, you have, you know, stuff that has to get done. and I look forward to Saturday because all I want to do is sleep in. And growing up, I used to sleep in, and then I'd wake up and my dad would have made pancakes. So Saturday was the day that I looked forward to because I could sleep in late. If mom was at work when I was really young, we'd watch Saturday morning cartoons, and then we'd have pancakes. And this was the best thing ever, and I looked forward to that. And then, you know, it's Saturday, so Saturday I can stay up late. But then Sunday morning, I'd be dragging, I'd be tired. Don't want to get up early, right? And I still do that. Saturday nights, I'm still staying up late, and I'm still pushing the envelope of like, oh no, I can stay up a little bit later. Because I can calculate this out. If I go to bed by 1 or 2, I can get 5.5 to 6 hours of sleep. Lindsay will get up first. She'll wake me up. We can be out of the house by 8:30. I'll still make it on time. And just constantly pushing that, right? But something that we talked about with the praise team several years ago was preparing for Sunday mornings, Saturday night. So this idea that your Sunday morning actually starts Saturday night, right? When athletes are preparing for a big game, the night before, they're not staying up late, right? They're not going out and they're partying. They're not doing all these crazy things. The night before, they're getting to bed early. They're getting rest because the next day they have a big event, right? Football season right now. These guys are traveling constantly every week. Well, that night before the game, they're making sure they get extra rest. We need to find a way to make that balance. Where Sundays, yeah, we're still having fun, but we're getting ready to prepare our minds. Saturdays we're still having fun, but Sundays are coming, and we're getting ready to prepare our minds. So we've talked about that with the praise team, about, you know what, maybe it's a better idea to go to bed a little earlier because we have to be here an hour before everybody else so that we can set up, run through rehearsal, sound check, and then you guys show up at 10. So we're here a little bit earlier, but we need to be preparing for Sunday as if it's the highlight. Pat, if you have Psalm 122, we looked at this last week at Psalm 122. I just want to reference back to verse 1. This is when originally David gets invited to go to church, and he's so excited about it. And he says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He was ecstatic. He was excited. He was ready because he looked forward to Sunday mornings. He looked forward to hanging out with them. He looked forward to being with the people of God. He looked forward to worshiping with them, to fellowshipping with them. He looked forward to these things because they excited him. Thursday nights, the praise team prepares for the music. So we spend a lot of time on Thursday nights getting ready for the music. And we kind of talked a little bit this past Thursday about how excited we were about last week's music and just how fun it was. And there's times on Thursday nights when we're here and things are not quite running smoothly. But then there's other times on Thursday nights when we're here and it's like we're having our own little mini worship set, our own little mini worship service. Because we just get into the music and we get lost in it. Because it's exciting to us. And that's how we want to think about Sundays. We want to create this mindset in all of us that when Friday rolls around, not that anyone would do this, but what if we actually got on social media Friday or Saturday and was like, Sunday's coming, or for all the younger ones, hashtag Sundays or hashtag I love Sundays, you know, whatever it is. But this outward expression of just how glad we are that Sundays are coming. And if we're not at a point where we actually get that excited about Sundays, then what do we need to do to change it? So how do we get to that point where we are excited? There's things that we need to do in our lives that will eventually get us there. For me, I am an extremely hard person to get up in the morning. My wife fights with me, but is constantly like, you are so hard to get up. I'm like, I'm not that hard to get up. Yes, you are. She'll start waking me up like a half hour to 45 minutes before I'm supposed to be awake for something because it takes me a while to get up. But what she says on the other side of that, to the flip side, is she'll go, if this is something you really want to do, you'll jump out of bed. She's like, if you want to go paintballing with the youth group, or you want to go golfing with your dad, or you want to go somewhere, like, you will spring out of bed as soon as that alarm clock goes off. She's like, but on any other given day, it's like trying to pull teeth to get you to wake up, to drag you out of bed. And I'll admit, on Sunday mornings, it's hard for me to get up out of bed because Saturday, usually I was doing crazy things, running around, staying up late because it was Saturday. So in my own life, there's things that I need to adjust to make sure I'm prepared for Sunday mornings. How about you? What is it in your life that maybe we need to change so that Sunday mornings are actually the day that we look forward to? They're the most exciting day of the week. With all the smartphones out there, maybe you put a schedule block, right? If you have a meeting, you put it in your phone and you block out a certain time, and you know that in your phone, I'm not available between 12 and 1:30 because I have a meeting. Well, what if we did that for church? What if for the next 4 weeks to follow the series, we just put in our phones, church, so that nothing else would overlap that time, so that we could guarantee that we're not going to schedule anything else because this is now a priority. We scheduled it. We put it on our schedule. It's something we need to attend, just like as if it was a meeting. What if we figured out an advanced plan? What if sometime this afternoon, whether with family or whoever you come to church with, before this concept wears off, you sit down and you talk about what kind of preparation you want to put into arriving here with smiles next Sunday? I remember several times growing up, and even now with my wife, on Sunday mornings, when it's the last minute and you're flying out of the house, and things aren't the most peaceful, and blood pressures are rising, and you're getting stressed, and we need to leave, we have to go, and you're all rushing out of the house, right? And then magically, you hit the church parking lot, and it's like that calm. Everyone takes that deep breath, puts on the smile, and now we walk into church. Oh, good morning, how are you? Oh, it's so great to see you. I'm so glad you're here. This is so wonderful. And 5 minutes earlier, you're sitting there screaming at someone because you're going to be late, and it's their fault because they're slow. And yet we hit that parking lot every week, and we're like, all right, it's time for Jesus. And we come in the doors, or we get to it where, you know, we're walking inside and you're still like, come on, we are late, we need to go. And then it's like someone sees you and you're like, hi, we're here, we made it. There's been a couple Thursday night practices where I'm not going to call out names, but people come in and they're like, we're sorry, we're late. And then like you find out, we're blaming her. Wow. She was late, and it's like, okay, I don't need to know. Let's just get started. So what do you need to change maybe the night before? What would be something that we could do differently so that maybe on Sunday mornings you avoid that completely? So that there isn't that opportunity even to have that blood pressure rising at home. What if we went to bed a little bit earlier? What if we made sure that we actually prepared for Sunday morning on Saturday night so that you avoided that whole screaming match in the morning? So instead of being 10 minutes behind, maybe now you're 15 minutes ahead. And you roll into church, and hey, it's only 9:45. It's not 10 o'clock. It's not 10:10. And you have this nice peace about you. And you walk into the back lobby, and you see Don Vollmer. He'll greet you with a smile every week. Even if he's having a terrible week, you won't know it. He'll still greet you with a smile. Because that's just Don's spirit. That's just how he is. But then you have a conversation, and you sit, and then you actually have time to just kind of rest before the service starts, right? And it creates this whole different picture of a Sunday morning. Now instead of the crazy stress behind the scenes, now you've had this nice, pleasant morning, you've been relaxed, and you've kind of settled yourself into this spirit where you can just sit, and then you can enjoy and you can embrace the rest of the service. And that's something I need to work on. And my wife will tell you the same thing. That I need to do a better job at preparing Saturday night for Sunday morning so that she's not dragging me out of bed and she's not rushing me out. Usually I just skip breakfast and don't eat because I'm running that far behind. But maybe that's something we need to do. But the last thing I would say is observe next Sunday. If you create a plan, if you decide to make a change, if you decide to make that commitment, then actually execute, follow through on that plan, right? The best laid intentions or the best ideas, if you don't actually follow through on them, they're worthless, right? Talk is cheap. Show me action. You know, prove it to me by doing it. So actually do it. Not because I want you to. Not because I'm up here telling you to. But because God's telling us to. It's a command that's given from God. God established Sunday to be the best day for you. He established it to be your day of rest. He established it for 6 days for us to work, and on that seventh for it to be a time of rest, right? On the seventh day for us to just sit back and refresh. Think about that this week. As you start coming up to Friday and Saturday this week, think about what's the best way to prepare for Sunday so that I actually look forward to it, so I actually enjoy where I'm going. So like last week, I'm going to have you repeat after me. Say, Sunday was meant to be the best day of my week. I'm going to prepare for it as if it's the highlight of my week. See you next Sunday. Well, that one was a little more confident. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this idea of rest. We thank you for this idea of building in a time to slow down and just to give thanks to you. Lord, we thank you for the example that you set for us. Father, I pray this week, as we go throughout our week, that we would look for ways to prepare for next Sunday. We would look for ways to make Sunday the highlight of our week so that we look forward to it. Lord, that we wouldn't look at Sunday as a day to get errands done and a day to run around and do things, but that we would change our perspective and we would look at Sundays as a day to just embrace you, to embrace the concept of rest that you laid out for us in your word. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us this week, that you would get us through each day, that you would give us your strength to get through whatever situations we're in. And that, Lord, next week when we come back here, that we would truly be excited about being here, being with your people, being with your children, and just having an opportunity to rest. And we ask these things in your son's name. Amen.